What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Spartan Talk. And today, we get to recap week three of the NFL season. And it's crazy, almost a month has gone by in the NFL season. And we get to see kind of how these teams start out the year. And it's been a very interesting start for sure. Obviously, my Bears have been, look like the worst team in the NFL, like bar none. They look like the worst team in the NFL. They don't look prepared on any given day, and yeah, we look awful. We didn't do anything this week at all, like firing anybody. So I think that just tells you that I don't know what the front office is doing, but it's awful. But that's my little rant for the Bears today. I'm not gonna go over their game because that's gonna take like 20 minutes. But yeah, so we're just going to jump right into it and get to the first game that I have on my notes here, and we got the Colts upsetting Baltimore in Baltimore. And what a game this was. This was a extremely fun game, very entertaining game. My brother's a huge Colts fan, so that was fun to watch the ending with him. So it was just a very, very, you know, fun, entertaining, back and forth game. And what we're seeing from this Colts team is Shane Steichen has them very well coached. He has them ready to play. They're playing with intensity. This defense looks like it's back to a top 10 defense after taking, what, maybe a year off of not being a top 10 defense. I think they were close to top 10, at least top, maybe close to it, a little bit out of it in 2021. But 2022 was not their year. And this defense is legit, and they were causing turnovers. Like, they had two fumbles in the first half. They were getting pressure on Lamar Jackson, and, you know, four sacks in this game. I think what, let's go over here, see how many quarterback hits there are. I guess there's the four sacks in the game. I was trying to look because it's weird looking at ESPN's quarterback hits because sometimes they kind of divvy up the quarterback hits, like quarterback hits I think equal to sacks. So if you have four sacks, you have four quarterback hits, and then you add up from there. I think that's how it is, but it could be a little bit different. But they were getting to Lamar Jackson in this game early on, and it was a little bit rattling him a little bit. He was trying to move inside the pocket, he was fumbling, he was holding on to the ball, just all that stuff. But they did a really good job of containing this run game. Obviously, Gus Edwards got 4.6 yards a carry. He's going to get, you know, his yards per carry with Lamar. But Melvin Gordon, 10 carries, 3.2 yards. They shut down this passing game pretty well. Held Lamar to a QBR, or was that 58.9? My eyes are, I don't know what's wrong with my eyes there. I was looking directly at that. And, yeah, so they just played very good. And Julius Brents is going to end up being one of the steals of the draft. Like, this cornerback tandem, along with this front seven, this may be the best front seven since the Peyton Manning era. Like, Samson Ekubon has been playing very good. Obviously, DeForest Buckner, top 10 defensive interior defensive lineman in the league, maybe top five. You could argue that. Quiddy Pay starting to turn the corner as a pass rusher, being a little bit more consistent. He's always been very good in the run game, but his, you know, pass game has been very up and down, and we kind of seen that in college, and you were hoping he would develop it, and I think he's done a pretty solid job of trying to develop it. And we'll go over Stewart as well, but he's more of a run stopper. But this front seven is really good, really fun, and it's going to be fun to see this defense play. Gardner Minshew did Gardner Minshew things. He's this generation's Ryan Fitzpatrick, in my opinion. I think he just plays very well. When he comes into games, he just clicks with any offense. He can do about anything that he needs to. He's a very good game manager. And, like, he doesn't have the arm Ryan Fitzpatrick does. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick had an arm on him. Gardner Minshew doesn't have that, but I think he has those tendencies. You know, sometimes he makes mistakes, but he's able to bounce back from them. He has a good head on his shoulders, and he's confident in the way he plays football. And that's all you ask from a backup quarterback. And he was able to do that, and he was able to get a win against the Super Bowl contender. So as all that's that should go to show just how good he is. And then Zach Moss, 30 carries, 4.1 yards per carry. He looked very good. And I know Houston, when we did this, my brother, we did this draft process in what, 2019, I want to say. He was very big on Zach Moss. And let me, I can look it up while I'm talking, but Zach Moss, y'all, 2020, it was 2020, that process. But Zach Moss, I thought he was very good. I thought he was able to see the hole clearly. I thought he was attacking the hole. I thought he had some solid acceleration. I always just was like, I thought he was just going to be a short down type of back, not an every down back. But he was able to kind of prove that in this game and throughout the first couple of games that he's played. Like, he's able to be the lead back of a team. And for Jonathan Taylor, we're going to see what happens with that contract negotiation, because if Zach Moss continues to play like this, we'll see what happens. And if, you could argue if he played in that week one game against Jacksonville, where Dante Jackson was fumbling a lot, maybe the Colts win that game. Maybe they do. It's a very high possibility. And they could be sitting at 3-0 right now. The Colts are surprisingly, I saw a clip the other day. It was like a couple of weeks ago before the season. I know Anthony Richardson said, I think something along the lines of, like, I think he thinks the team is a playoff team. And I think, what was it, Joy Taylor or whatever on FS1 was like, there are no way in, they're like, there are no way even close to a playoff team. And it just goes to show that, like, you get good coaching. This defense, I think a lot of people forget how good this defense was. Just how bad they performed last year. But this defense is really, really good. And you get a rookie quarterback that is as good and has developed the way he's developed over the course of his, first start at Florida last year to where he is now. And then you add in Gardner Minshew, who, is arguably a, like, top 25 quarterback in the league. Maybe, like, obviously he's going to be top 30, in my opinion. But you could argue he's a top 25 quarterback in the league. And to have him as a backup, one of the best backups in the league, it helps out a lot. And for, it's just a good win here for the Colts. It is a great win for them. And for Baltimore, they always have games like this throughout the season. We're going to see what happens here, but what a crazy game this was. What a crazy game. The Ravens kind of had blunders throughout, and obviously you had the fair catch instead of letting it go into the 2-minute warning, the holding penalty, the dumb play by Lamar running around and all that. So just not good. Just one of those games. And Ravens feel like, I feel like they always have one or two of those games throughout the year where they lose games they shouldn't, but they always match up well against some of the topper teams. Topper, that's not even a word. I guess some of the top teams in the NFL. And so you kind of want to see them win some of the games that, like, a lot of people shouldn't, but they match up well against. So it's always like that with the Ravens and John Harbaugh led Ravens teams. But they're going to be a playoff team no matter what. But we'll move on here to the Chargers and the Minnesota Vikings, the battle of the teams who you kind of expect to see this type of game when you put these two franchises together. It's the battle of the franchises that will try their best to lose any game that they're in. And this game was kind of the epitome of that. And this was just one of those games. It's just one of those games that was like, Justin Herbert played great. Kirk Cousins played fantastic, even though the offensive line is terrible. Four sacks, 13 quarterback hits. That is ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. The offensive line needs to play better. My guy, Tuli, Tulipu, or Tulu, however you say his name, I thought he played very well in this game. I thought I liked him a lot coming out of USC. I think he had, what, two sacks or two half sacks in the game. He played very well, in my opinion. And for the for the Chargers, I'll say, like, it's going to hurt not having Mike Evans through the rest of the season, but I'm excited to see how Josh Palmer kind of develops and see how he's developed over the last couple of years when they're having a bunch of injuries and he was kind of a young player trying to get his first season in the NFL or first, like, season where he's playing a lot, and now he's looking really good. So I think we're going to see a very good blow up year for Josh Palmer in this offense. And the Chargers are always going to be a playoff caliber team. They have a Super Bowl caliber roster. They just never put it together. And you just want them to put it together. And for the Vikings, this is a playoff caliber roster, but they always find ways to, fudge it up. And it's never like always, there's sometimes it's Kirk Cousins' fault, but sometimes it's just the people around him that don't really pick up. Offensive line, he's getting pressured. Last two games has been absolutely destroyed. Last two games with two great defensive lines, and he can't really do much when he's getting hit a lot. And the end of the game there was terrible time management. Terrible. We're gonna get to the Rams here, but Kevin O'Connell seems like he picked that up from Sean McVay. Like, go spike the ball and give yourself three downs. Give yourself three downs. Instead, he hikes it and he tries to rocket in a very quick pass. If they spike it there, he probably doesn't throw that initially. He probably doesn't throw that. It probably doesn't get tipped up and all that. It's just one of those. It's just bad time management there at the end. And you can, put in the fumbles. I think Madison had two fumbles lost, maybe one fumble lost. Like he did not have the game where he didn't have a game. Or I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to say. So he didn't have the best game in the world. He did not. And now you're starting to wonder, is he the main guy? He had 4.7 yards per carry, but he did fumble a couple of times. So you're wondering, how, I guess, like, is he going to be that lead back for this team? And I think that's what's kind of hurt them a little bit, is I don't think a lot of people put a lot of respect on Madison. He's able to get 4.7 yards of carry, and they're allowed to kind of just drop back and kind of deal with that passing game because they don't have a lot of respect that Madison's going to break off a big one. I think they're okay with letting Madison pick up yards here and there, and when they do stack the box, he doesn't usually get much. So I'll kind of want to monitor that and see like how he actually does throughout the year and all that. But Kirk Cousins playing a heck of a first three games, and it's just sad that he's just on a team that just is the way the Vikings are, And as what I was talking about earlier on my, full season predictions was Minnesota was going to even out their one score wins from last year, and it looks like they're starting to even them out. I think what their first three games have been one score losses, I want to say. Let me see here. Yeah, one, two, yep, all three games, one score losses. Considering last year, they won 11 NFL record one score games. So just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. But we'll move on here to our next 1 o'clock game, and because we're not going to do any 4 o'clock games because those games were Cardinals upset was a good one by the Cardinals and then Chiefs, but we'll get into that here in a sec. But Jaguars and Texans, and for me, this game I think just shows how good of a coach DeMeco Ryans is, and how well his players are buying in to what he's selling. And for me, it's about the I think the energy they play with. They play for their coach, and this team believes in him, and they're playing their hearts out every single week. And this is gonna be a fun team to watch throughout the year, especially how young they are. New head coach, a young head coach. CJ Stroud's really young. Tank Dell has been playing very well. You have Damian Pierce, who's playing very well. Offensive line's playing a lot better. They still have their ups and downs, but this Texans team looks very solid and looks very fun to watch. And I don't think they're going to be good by any means. I still think they're going to be a top five pick, but they're going to be competing in a lot of games, and a lot of games that you don't think they should be competing in. And the picks with CJ and then Will Anderson. Will Anderson's getting a lot of pressure on these quarterbacks. I don't think he's getting there. I don't know if he has a career sack yet because I haven't paid too much attention to. I could kind of look this up real quick, but I haven't paid too much attention to Houston's games this year because, I was like, I'm going to highlight them 1 week, but I don't want to. I want them to have like a good solid win here, and they end up getting that, but. I think this is I have in my notes here, but this is the best. I was like the best offensive line performance I've seen from the Houston Texans in the past decade. And they've been playing very, solid. They've been playing very, or especially in the game, they're playing very solid. They're playing like there wasn't a lot of pressure on CJ Stroud. He's able to step up in the pocket and make some throws and get some good yardage, and he looked very comfortable, very good out there. CJ Stroud's looking better and better each week. And let me see if Will Anderson has a sack here. Yeah, he has one sack, but he's getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. You want to see him kind of convert those. He probably could have had like two or three sacks in this game. It didn't happen, but he's playing very, very solid out there. And then for the Jacksonville Jaguars, you kind of expect them to lose games that they shouldn't, throughout the year. Just that's how Jacksonville usually is. But the two special teams blunders early on, the missed field goal, I think it was a missed field goal, and then the blocked field goal was, yeah, it's just two things that like it could have been 17-13, and they were driving at one point to, kind of, I'm trying to think of the word here, like they were driving in the first half or in the second half to at least, I think it was driving to kick a field goal, and that being 17-10. And they could have been tied in the game. It could have been 17-17, or it could have been, they could have been driving to take the lead 20, or it could have been 17-16. They could have been driving to take the lead 22-17 at some point, but they were down 10 instead. So it's just one of those, games where like the special teams just kind of cost them. And who knows? If that's a one score game, maybe CJ Stroud pushes when he shouldn't. He doesn't play a little bit more loosely. Maybe he plays a little bit more tight, and he makes a mistake here and there, and Jacksonville was able to come away with the win. But they had a 10-point lead, and that's just how the game went for Jacksonville. It just, like you wonder, like if it's a close game, maybe Jacksonville pulls it out in that instance where, like, say if it is 17-16, and young rookie quarterback, 1-point game, maybe he makes a mistake. I just like it just Jacksonville always does this every year, always does this. But Jacksonville could be looking at 0-3 right now. They're lucky they got the win against the Colts. Colts could be looking at 3-0. This is a very interesting division. It's always very interesting to see how this division plays out with these teams. But I think it'll be fun throughout the year. I think it's gonna be the Colts and Jaguars throughout, maybe until the midpoint season, and then we might see the Titans move up into that second spot, while maybe the Colts maybe drop out if the Colts are starting to look and see if they want to get a top 10 pick. If not, if they want to compete for the playoffs, I think the Colts are going to be there the whole year. But it should be a fun division to watch throughout here. But we'll kind of highlight here, talk or do little snippets here. But I'll say this though, the 70 burger of the 1 o'clock games, but the 70 burger by Miami was insane. That was fun to kind of watch the graphic down there keep going up, because we had the Saints and Packers, and then the Colts and Ravens, and yeah, so it was fun to watch that. And then kind of going to the Saints and Packers, and Derek Carr leaving that game really changed that game. And it was a very well called game by Matt LaFleur. Still, Jordan Love still has a lot to grow on. I'm not gonna name him a Pro Bowler. Like, I don't think he's having that caliber every season. I think it's more Matt LaFleur is having a Coach of the Year season. And at the moment, and I know it's 3 weeks in, but Jordan Love just can't hit anybody deep down the field. Like, he has, like, his accuracy, throwing down the field is not the best. And you want to see him improve that. Like, he has the arm to do it, he has the arm talent to do it, but he just keeps missing open players downfield. And you want to see him get better. But Matt LaFleur is putting him in positions to succeed, and they're able to come away with a 1-point victory. They went for it on two and were able to get it. So it was a good one by them. And we'll move down here because, like I said, we're not going to do I can't speak right now. We're not going to do the 4 o'clock games, because, yeah, Seattle and Carolina, just not too interesting to me. You have Andy Dalton starting for Carolina there. Obviously, my Bears, I talked about them for a little bit. And then Cowboys just had a terrible game. Cardinals, I'm happy for Josh Dobbs, got a win there. But it's the Cowboys. Cowboys are known to make those type of mistakes. But we're going to move on to Sunday Night Football. We have the Steelers and the Raiders. And for me, this was one of those old school rivalries that it looks very weird for me seeing in prime time. I'm not going to lie. Like, growing up, the Raiders were terrible. They sucked. They were just awful. And for the Steelers, they were always really solid. They were always really good. You had Ben Roethlisberger when I was growing up, so you were expected to see them in prime time, but you didn't really expect the Raiders. So it's weird, so weird seeing the Raiders in prime time. But I know for some of the older audience, it was like nostalgia, like, oh, it's the Raiders and the Steelers. This is gonna be fun. So it was a little bit weird for me watching them on prime time. Like, the Christmas game was very fun last year, and this game was, not as good, but it was fun. But I think for the Steelers, obviously, they need to convert field goals to touchdowns. They're settling for way too many field goals, and I just think that's a young quarterback thing with Kenny Pickett. You're gonna sometimes settle for field goals in games, but they did a good job at settling for those field goals and making those field goals and earning points on those drives, because it really helped them in the long run in this game. And like some of these aggressive coaches, you don't get points on those drives, aka Frank Reich. So that's kind of annoying. Like, you have a young quarterback, take the points when you can get them, move on, especially with the defense they have. And this, Kenny Pickett and the Steelers team, I think, gained a lot of confidence after that Monday night win. Even though it was not their best performance, for the offense at least, they gained a lot of confidence, and they looked the best they have all year in this game. And this defense is absolutely phenomenal. They're getting the quarterbacks, they're forcing turnovers, and I know everybody's talking about the Jet, I forget who was it, DJ Reed was like, yeah, we're gonna be as good as the 85 Bears, or that's our goal this year. I think the Steelers have a better shot and have a more realistic shot of being that next great defensive team versus the Jets right now, because this defense is absolutely phenomenal. They are doing everything they can to go out and win these games for the Steelers. And for the Raiders, I just think Jimmy G, is playing very solid. He's being a really good facilitator. He did have his Jimmy G moments. Like, a couple of those interceptions just weren't the best. And obviously, it's Jimmy G being Jimmy G. But, like, when Jimmy G's, like, in a rhythm and he's clicking, he's one of the best game managers in the NFL. And he's able to get it out to the talent on the offensive end, and they're able to move the ball downfield and look like a really good offense. And that's what he did so well in San Francisco, was that's what he did so well. He just facilitates to the playmakers and let them go make plays. That's what he's doing here in Las Vegas. But Jimmy G does have those mistakes where, like, I think he just, like, freaks out, and then he throws an interception across field, and you're just like, what are you doing? What type of throw was that? So you're gonna get the good and bad with Jimmy G. I think the Raiders are going through those rough patches, but I like the Raiders a lot. I think they're a team that's gonna be competing throughout the year. I think they're going to be competing for a playoff spot. This defense looks so much more improved. It looks a lot better than anything in the Derek Carr era, and you just wish they had that with Derek Carr. But this team is at least a playoff contender, a playoff contender for me. And they're a team to keep an eye on around week 15, week 16, when we're starting to eliminate teams, and they might be on that verge of being eliminated, but they might be in that seventh spot, and you're like, all right, win a couple games here, try to secure that, and then we'll see where we go from there. But I like the Raiders. I like where they're at. I think they can definitely pick up a win against Los Angeles, pick up two wins against Denver, and I think they could definitely get an upset over Kansas City, like I think they did last year, maybe. I want to say they upset Kansas City last year. I don't know why I'm blanking on that, but I think they did. But or maybe it was 2 years ago. But they did a like they're a team that's going to be competing for that seventh spot, and I like where they're at. I like where the Steelers are at. So this was a very fun game to watch here, but. Yeah, and also I put down here my notes here before I head on to the Monday night games. Like, Josh McDaniels not kicking a field goal in the fourth quarter definitely could have cost him. It ended up not making a difference in the game because the defense lit up that first down near the 2 minute warning. But, like, they could have been going down driving to tie the game, you know, like minus, like, obviously they had 18. If you add three, it's 21. It would have been 21, 23, but I don't think they wouldn't have gone for two. They would have, it would have been 17, or it would have been 22, 23, and they would have been driving to tie the game instead of having to go for the win. And, you know, just bad time management. Just bad time management. And that's the thing for this week. Just bad game management by coaches. We already talked about it in two games. We're going to talk about it here in another game here. But yeah, we'll move on here to the Monday night games. And we got Tampa Bay at Philadelphia. And for me, Philadelphia's offense just looks almost unstoppable. It just looks absolutely absurd. Like, Jalen Hurts is playing very good football. This offense is playing really good football. He has so much time just to sit back and go through his progressions. Like you look at Justin Fields and like his dropback and his times, they are like not they're really bad. They're like, but he like Justin Fields would be able to succeed in this offense, in this offensive line, the way he's been playing this year. And gosh, man, that sneak play is the most dominant play. Maybe one of the most dominant plays in NFL history, if not the most dominant play in NFL history, because nobody can stop it. When Philadelphia gets to third and two, they're going to do it twice, pick up a first down. Like, it's so hard to stop them on that sneak. And you know, for Tampa Bay, I thought Baker played very solid. I think he could have had better ball placement throughout the game. And we kind of seen that. He made Mike Evans try to, he made Mike Evans have to make tough catches, and with the rain and all that, he just wasn't able to make them. But there's just one of those games where Mike Evans just didn't, he wasn't up on his A game. He was on his like B plus game. And you know, when you're facing a team like Philadelphia, you're going to end up losing a game when your best player is on his B plus game, on the at least on the offensive end. And I mean, there could be debatable on the defensive end if you want to talk about Vita Vey and Levante David and all that being the best player, but kind of digress there. But it was like Tampa Bay looked very competitive in this game, even though they lost by two scores. This game felt close. I don't know why, but it felt very close. And I think come playoff time, if Tampa Bay's in the playoffs and we get this rematch, I think it's going to be a lot closer of a game. I think Tampa Bay is going to make it very difficult for Philadelphia. And, you know, obviously they were out called without Carlton Davis or Carlton Davis. You know, they had a couple injuries on the defensive end. So this Tampa Bay team wasn't even fully healthy, but they look very competitive. They look very competitive. And I really like where this Tampa Bay team is at. I think, you know, if they make the playoffs, they could definitely make a run. But we've seen Baker Mayfield in the postseason a couple of years ago, where you know he probably should have led Cleveland to beating Kansas City if it wasn't for, I think, was it Rashad Higgins fumbling right before half for a touchdown. And then obviously you had the Chad Henne scramble for a first down on third down, that kind of that end of the game. But for like Tampa, I just think they're a playoff team. I think they are a playoff team. You know, it's weird saying that without Tom Brady there, but Baker Mayfield's playing some really solid football. You know, he had not the best game in the world, but he was able to play very solid. And I think one thing for the Buccaneers they have to fix is the run game. What was it, 2.4 yards a carry? I can double check this real quick, but it just makes them so one-dimensional that, like, especially if you're facing a team like Philadelphia with their defensive front and their pass rush, they can just pin their ears back and go at Baker Mayfield. They don't have to care about the run game. And yeah, let me see here real quick. I don't know why that tab's up, but all right, 2.7 yards a carry for Rashad White, 2.4 as a team. And it's stuff like that is going to cost teams maybe playoff spots, but it's going to cost them games throughout the season that they should either be very competitive in or have chances to win at the end that they don't, and they're going to lose games because of it. And it's just something they need to fix here. I think they need to go out and get a running back that is going to be a competent starter. And Rashad White's a good change of pace back, but he's not a starting running back. And I think we're starting to see that this year. And it's hurting the Buccaneers right now. But in Philadelphia, as a team to beat, Tampa Bay, I thought competed very well with them. It just, I think, comes down to them being a little bit healthy, and we'll see what happens in the playoffs. We'll see what happens in the playoffs because anything can happen once it comes postseason time. But Tampa Bay needs to keep it up. They can't just have ups and downs throughout the year. They need to, and especially in the division that they're in, like they could definitely pick up maybe 2 wins against Atlanta if Atlanta's having a bad week 1 week, and definitely pick up 2 wins against Carolina, and they can split one against New Orleans. That's at least 4 wins, maybe 5 wins for them. And you're looking at, what, 7 wins at the moment with the 2 wins you have now? Go out and win a couple more games throughout the year. That could be a little bit easier. Let me see here real quick. Like, the Texans, Titans, very winnable games for them. Jacksonville could be a winnable game for them. Green Bay could be a winnable game with how good Tampa Bay has been against the run. You know, Indy with a rookie quarterback could be a winnable game for them. So there's winnable games throughout the year that they could definitely, you know, beat a 10-win team. So I'll really want to kind of see how they perform throughout the year, and especially in these high-profile games like this one on Monday Night Football. But we'll move on here to the last game of the week is the Rams at the Bengals. And I think this all really boiled down to how bad the Rams offensive line played last night. It was terrible. 6 sacks, 10 quarterback hits. Absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. Like, it was awful. 3.8 yards per carry for Kyren Williams on the day. They were just one-dimensional throughout the game. I think it was, what, 20 more passes, almost triple the pass or passes to rushes. And Sean McVay isn't that type of offense. Like, he's an offensive guy that's going to be running the football and it's going to be sending out the passing. Even if the running game maybe is getting 3.8 yards a carry or getting 4 yards a carry or being league average, he's still going to go at it just so the defense can respect it. But in this game, he just there it wasn't there, and maybe that is on Sean McVay for maybe not trusting the run game a little bit more. But the offensive line was just terrible. It just wasn't a good game for them, and it put Matthew Stafford in some really bad situations out there. And also Sean McVay, I want to get this before I almost forget, like I did with the Raiders, almost did with the Raiders one. His time management at the end of the game was so terrible. They had a chance with 2 minutes left. Roll it, Brett Maher, kick a field goal, kick a long field goal, and get the ball. And get the ball back with sorry, I heard something downstairs, but sorry for the pause there. But get the ball back, like get the ball back, or try to attempt to get the ball back. If not, you get the 2 minute warning and you have a timeout, and you can try to make something happen about 1:15, 1:10 left in the game. And for them, just to this is the second week in a row that he's done this type of thing, and it's very, very. It just irks me. It just irks me the bad time management by Sean McVay. It's just. It's terrible. It is terrible. It reminds me a lot of Andy Reid in his younger years. But for Cincinnati, good win for them. Good win to get in the win column this year. Kind of get some momentum. I thought the offense played very good. They settled for a lot of field goals in this game. I thought Joe Burrow looked better throughout the game, and you could kind of see him start moving a little bit better throughout. Like his calf was getting warmed up throughout the game, so that's a good sign. But he's severely limited at the moment. And for Cincinnati, you know, their season, you know, they're lucky they have the stretch of games that they have left here. Like they have the Titans, a very winnable game. The Cardinals, winnable game. Seattle, very winnable game. Then they play 49ers, Bills. We'll see what happens in those games. But then they got the Texans. Like they could easily go, what, 1, 2, 3 wins. 3 wins be 3-3. You know, say they. Like, I think they're going to lose those, so it'll be 3-5. They can win against the Texans. Maybe, say if they lose to the Ravens, okay, be 4-6. And then you got the Steelers, Jaguars, Colts, Vikings, Steelers. You got the Chiefs here, and then you got the Browns. So there are some winnable games there. There are some winnable games. And maybe they pick up one against the 49ers and the Bills. Who knows? But there's some winnable games there. They have a tough schedule, and this is what Super Bowl contenders have to deal with. They have to deal with tough schedules. And for them, they are going to have to be able to bounce back, and hopefully Joe Burrow is healthy enough and that middle part of the year when they're playing San Francisco, when they're playing Buffalo, that he is fully healthy and that he is back to full health. But these next three games, like, just winning it through them. Just winning it through them. Don't have. Hopefully, Joe Burrow doesn't get re-injured or something like that, and they can move on and hopefully be, in that playoff race, maybe the seventh seed or the sixth seed, and just inch their way into the playoffs. But good win by them. I thought they looked a lot better, a lot more fluid on offensive end. I thought they had a good game plan out there, getting the ball out quick for him, so he doesn't have to put a lot of pressure on that calf. So I thought it was a good win by them. And yeah, not actually. I was looking at my notes here. I had it like 4-2. I said 4-3. That it would be 3-2, and if they won their next three games here, they'd be 4-2 actually. So like, they could easily be a. I think they could easily be a 10-win team, even if Joe Burrow plays at a 60% level of what he is. They could definitely still be a 10-win team, 9-win team this year. But yeah, that's going to wrap up this week's recap. Make sure to like, share, comment. Let me know how I can make it more enjoyable for y'all and make it a better listening experience for y'all. And I'm excited to, the first month's always a little bit weird because you don't have the stats, you don't have the team stats, and you can't really tell how some teams, because maybe they have a bad week in the first month, but you can't really tell how teams actually play against the run, play against the pass. So you're always just, looking at, like, I guess I'm trying to think here, like, how they did the week prior or the couple weeks prior, and trying to guesstimate on, like, are they going to do good in this game, or are they going to play better? Was that just a fluke game? But I love when it gets down, like, past the first month of the season, you can kind of just see, like, what's the team's strengths, what's the team's weaknesses, and, how's this team going to attack? How's this team going to, perform against this team? How's this team going to, are they going to run the football if they're really. They're ha averaging a high amount or allowing a high yards per carry for running backs. Are they going to be running the football a lot through this game? And being able to set the pass game up like that, like stuff like that. Like, I can't wait for next couple of weeks where we get to kind of see these, where these teams are at statistically and see, like, oh, okay, they're struggling against the run. They're struggling against that. So it's just very, it's always very hard to, It's always very hard to, I guess, put put those, put it together. Like, especially when you're in predictions and stuff, it's always very hard. But yeah, I'm kind of rambling on here at the end. But I just want to say, I appreciate y'all, and yeah, I will get the Thursday night recap up on Thursday, and y'all can listen to that and get my record for the year, predictions. I think I had a 50-50 week this week, or maybe a little bit under 50-50. A little bit under 500, but I think I did pretty solid this week. Maybe a little bit under 500. I didn't have the good week I did last week. But yeah, I'm excited to get to this Thursday night game between, who is it? I'm blanking right now. Who is this Thursday night game? I want to say it's the Packers and Lions, but I'm not. Yeah, Packers and Lions Thursday night football. That'll be a fun game to watch. But yeah, so yeah, I will see y'all on Thursday for the Thursday night preview, and have a good day, y'all. I'll see y'all then.